You're listening to Daily Paul Radio. Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. WGRR Digital.
Welcome to all of you wonderful people to this, the second Blue Republican radio show for the Liberty Curious. And to those who were here for the first show, thank you very much. We started pretty strong. We had the best part of 2,000 people, and we didn't even really advertise it. So I'm just so delighted to be doing this. I'm very grateful to Daily Paul for this opportunity and spreading some good ideas at an important time for our country. And those, again, who were with me for the last week know that I was speaking to Cornelius Brantley, Blue Republican Chair for North Carolina. And this week I'm talking to someone equally as awesome, who happens to be the Blue Republican Chair for Colorado, Tisha Cassidy. Welcome.
Hi, Robin. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here.
Oh, no, thank you for coming. I'm so glad we've been able to do this. So thanks for your time. Should we tell the listeners that this is actually our second attempt today, or should we not mention it?
I think it's worth mentioning.
It's the end of the day recording this, and we're a little exhausted, and because the first interview, it was really good, wasn't it?
It didn't
quite record right, did it?
No, that's okay.
But let's see. It's a second time. We'll be lucky this time. I'm sure. I'm feeling good about it.
That's so good.
Tisha, basically, you and I have a bit of a mutual admiration society, don't we?
Yes, we do.
I think you're just one of the most awesome human beings that I've met in the U.S., especially one of the most liberty-orientated human beings that I've met in the U.S. You've done some amazing things down there in Colorado. You're something of a grassroots activist, but you turned that into a run for Congress, didn't you, in 2011, 2012?
I did. I was inspired to do something, and I wanted my voice to be heard, and that was a really good way to get out and do it. And I want to make a difference in my lifetime, and I think it's important for people in my age group and younger, and actually just anyone outside the political system, to be active and not be afraid of being active in politics.
And what was it that finally triggered your decision to take on this kind of awesome task of, as you discovered that it was, of running for Congress? And what did you learn about, you know, about yourself and about your district and about politics from doing that?
Well, I've owned my own small business for about 9 years now, and I started it right after I graduated with my undergraduate degree, and was initially growing it while I worked on my master's. And what it is I do marketing, and mostly marketing for small businesses and producers, farmers and ranchers. So the final nail in the coffin that was inspiring me to do something was when I was trying to run a farmer's market as a private business in Pueblo County. And there were different rules and regulations for my privately run market than there was for the two publicly subsidized markets. And when I questioned the city council and city manager and county commissioners about these differences in regulations, which of course cost me more money and more time because of having to try to comply, they ignored me. And that angered me, and it kind of set the stage for me wanting to do something on a bigger scale to educate people about different ways we can find solutions, as well as just have my voice heard and try and do something for my country and community.
And you've done that with a vengeance. You had the outrageous idea that your representatives should actually represent you, Tisha.
It is an outrageous idea, and I think that it's important that we bring back the concept of what a statesman is. And to further answer one of your initial questions, you know, I learned so much about myself and my community, my district, the people in my district that are a part of my local economy and are a part of my community that would are really the bread and butter of what makes life and enjoying life possible. And so it was, you know, very educational for me, but inspiring, I hope, for others and other young people who are interested in becoming involved.
And you, some would say, made life difficult for yourself by running unaffiliated, running as an independent. Now, tell me a little bit about that decision and how it kind of affected your race and your efforts.
I have never been a big fan of labels, especially when it comes to political labels. I think that by calling oneself a Republican or a Democrat, unfortunately, you can automatically disqualify yourself from being heard from certain groups of people. So I really wanted to start off on a unjudgmental foot and put myself out there as someone that is not beholden to a political party, but is instead beholden to the people. And as an unaffiliated, you know, donations that come to me come into the campaign and are spent by me and the campaign directly. That's different than political campaigns run by the parties. A lot of the time the money just goes back into the party itself, which they can use for different things. But it was more difficult in one sense because, of course, you have to educate people about running unaffiliated, and sometimes people are worried about how effective their money is going to be when they support an independent or third-party candidate. But on the other hand, it's much more freeing because I can say whatever I want. I can openly admit when I don't know something, and I'm not beholden to answer to anybody but myself and the people in the community that I want to represent. So in on one way, it is a little more difficult. In another way, it's very freeing and exciting.
Now, what about the fact that kind of at some level, all politics are the politics of identity, and you know, a lot of the American population do actually vote the label. You know, if they're Republican, then the Republican's necessarily right. If the Democrat, the Democrat's necessarily right. I mean, in running unaffiliated, you're doing something that's kind of unfamiliar, that's kind of feels a little unsafe for some voters, kind of psychologically, emotionally, I mean. How did you deal with that? I mean, what impact did that have on the actual vote count at the end of the day?
Well, we set the record for the number of votes for an independent candidate, and we also set the record for the amount of money raised for an independent or unaffiliated candidate. So we broke down many barriers, and I think what it came down to and what made us successful in doing that was when we meet with people and you meet with people one-on-one and they realize you're a human being, that you work, that you live paycheck to paycheck, that you have no will to go to Washington, D.C. and make it your career path. And that's what won us people. And that's what we want to continue to do, or break down those barriers based on party labels. Because once you meet people and understand that this person running for office, and since they're running for office unaffiliated or as a third party, it's not necessarily supported by the other two larger parties, that you are creating change, doing something different, and that it is absolutely possible for these people to win if you can support them. So it kind of goes both ways, and we were very lucky to meet the people that we did, and just continue to show people that you're a real person, and that's what made us so successful with our first run.
Wonderful stuff. And sometime during all of this, you discovered Blue Republican, and then I discovered you or something. How did that work?
Well, I believe I saw an article, and I had sent you an email, and then you had found that email and emailed me back.
Love it. I got to love the internet.
I know.
So and we actually endorsed you. The Blue Republican movement endorsed you. We endorsed Ron Paul, obviously, which was kind of gave birth to the movement. And then just, I think, three or four other national candidates, and you were one. How did that play into, you know, what you were doing then when you were running, and indeed what you're doing now as an activist? Now, indeed, you took over the chair of the of Colorado Blue Republicans. And we've only got a minute or so left for this segment, so we can come back to this. But
yeah, the brand itself was really fun to use to educate people about what being liberty curious means. Mm-hmm. So we had printed out one of your original articles about what it meant, and people love it. People love to read about solutions and how we can come together on things that we do agree on and have a friendly environment to have these conversations. That's really the strongest foundation we need to create solutions, is to just have that conversation and listen to one another. So the Blue Republican brand really has opened up the door to doing that.
And now you, obviously, you're staunchly independent. Like, you're kind of philosophically independent when it comes to being, you know, standing, not wanting to stand under a party banner. That worked for you okay alongside the Blue Republican, just because the word Republican is there.
It really did. I was actually a little surprised at how people were able to understand that Blue Republican was just a movement and not part of the Republican Party.
And they got that the blue and the Republican juxtaposition were kind of subverting the paradigm and all that good anti-establishment stuff.
For the most part, exactly, yes.
Wonderful.
It's great for marketing.
This is good to know, because there you are on the ground testing this stuff out.
Exactly.
Okay, that's our first segment. So we'll come back and carry on from here with me, Robin, and Fisher Capita in our second segment coming up. Thanks for that. Welcome back to this, the second Blue Republican radio show for the Liberty Curious. This is me, Robin Kerner, speaking to Tisha Cassida, chair of Blue Republican Colorado. Tisha, now I have very fond memories of the circumstances under which we first met. Why don't you tell our listeners about them? Because what you did was awesome.
Well, because of my first congressional run in Colorado's 3rd congressional district, I met a lot of amazing people and amazing supporters of liberty. And, of course, many of those supporters of liberty were also huge fans of Dr. Ron Paul. And because of a couple of different groups and some very generous people, we were able to bring Dr. Ron Paul out to Colorado Mesa University in Grand Junction. And we did it under the banner Blue Republican Colorado, as well as my event company, Imagine That. And it was a fabulous event. We reached a lot of people at the college, in the community, and even across the state. We had people come all the way from Denver and Southern Colorado to the event. So it was an amazing time. And, of course, I got to meet you, Robin, for the first time.
I got to meet you.
I knew you already.
That's right. And actually, it was the first time I actually got to meet Dr. Ron Paul. And I'd been, you know, writing all these articles about the guy and why we should all be voting for him. And I had never had the chance to speak to him. And if it weren't for you and Steve and the amazing people that helped you put that event together, and it was marvelous, I probably still wouldn't have met him now. So I was kind of simultaneously proud and humbled to see him in front of, you know, the Blue Republican logo and yours in front of our banner. And indeed kind of speak about what we were doing, Blue Republicans, you know, from the stage, and kind of endorse that and endorse your effort. And then, of course, we got to have a wonderful dinner. And it was quite an awesome experience.
It really was. I love Dr. Paul, and but there is nothing quite like being there in person, listening to him speak. He's just a very amazing human being, and it shines through his words and his actions. And he's very humble and loving. And it was an amazing event, and it was magical. So I'm very blessed that it happened.
Yes, we all were, and thank you for it. And it's nice to hear you say, you know, he has this, you say he's kind of very humble and loving. And I remember, I think you and I both spoke in different ways about how liberty is really the politics of love. And it's all the more important now because we seem to be living in an age of the politics of fear. And I think you spoke to that.
Yeah. Well, I really have learned, and this is from my own struggles with fear and having, you know, problems and worry and being scared of things, you know, learning that love conquers fear. And especially when it comes to politics and what our both political parties are doing, they often use fear as a vehicle to pass legislation or to get support for something. And I think it long term can be really unhealthy and dangerous. And so we need to replace, you know, acting out of fear with acting out of love. And that will cause a lot of it'll be better.
Absolutely. You know what? And if I think about the litany of the worst injustices that we're under now in the United States, whether it be the NDAA passed out of fear, right? The Patriot Act passed out of fear. Bailouts passed out of fear. You know, if we don't give all this taxpayer money to this little financial elite, what's going to happen? Again, it's all fear-driven. Having our children groped at the airports, that's fear. You know, scared of the terrorist bogeyman. We're overdue. We're overdue for, I think, some love in our politics. And a phrase that I used not long ago is that liberty without love is hollow. But in fact, you know, as I say, liberty really is the politics of love.
Right. Absolutely. It's what, you know, as human beings, you know, I think we have two paths we can pursue. We can create or we can destroy, and creating things is love and destroying things is fear. So I think that it's kind of part of our quest and our reason here on the planet and why we exist.
Yeah, and love is very expansive. It's about the possible, whereas, you know, fear is very contractive and limiting, and I think that's what I think our whole nation is starting to rub up against now.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think there's a great awakening. I think there's a whole other generation that is often called apathetic, and maybe that's for the best that they are apathetic and not participating in this fear-based type of influence. So I think that a lot of young people are getting out of that system and are seeking other ways to influence each other and their community, and I think that's a good thing.
Right, definitely. No, it's a very exciting time to be here and to be part of this movement. But Tisha, I haven't mentioned the most exciting thing that happened that day, that happened actually when Ron Paul was speaking. When he had heard you speak and he got up, and very soon after he started, he suggested to the audience that they really should send a Tisha Cassidy to Washington, D.C.
That was one of the most awesome moments of my entire life.
It was quite amazing because I am aware of how locked down Ron Paul's speaking contracts are, and I think he specifies, and his people specify, that you shouldn't ask for and nobody should expect an endorsement, at an event when he's not there to give one, for obvious reasons. And when he said that, I looked down the row of seats to you. We were sitting in the front. And I think I mouthed to you, Tisha, you've just got an endorsement from the man, Ron Paul.
Yeah, that was another huge blessing and something I wasn't expecting by any means. And I just am very appreciative. I think that he heard what I was saying. I tried to speak very eloquently to my main talking points about government, the role of government, our constitution, what liberty means, and what we can do as far as being solutions-based as either, you know, as people in our community or as a candidate or as a business owner. Right. And I think he heard that, and I am just very excited.
No, I'm also really excited because I think that if you get an endorsement for Congress from Ron Paul, that you should probably do something with it, don't you?
I was thinking about that, and you are probably right.
So what are you gonna do with that, Tisha?
Well, Robin, I would like to use your show and Blue Republican and this opportunity to announce my independent run for Colorado's 3rd Congressional District in 2014.
Congratulations.
So, yes.
Congratulations.
Now it's official, and now we're running.
Wonderful. And you know what? I'm gonna congratulate me and Daily Pool Radio that you made that announcement on this show. That's an honor. I'm going to congratulate America that they have you in the race and all the people of your third district down there in Colorado.
Thank you.
And this is very exciting, very exciting. So look, we've got a minute and a half left in this segment. What's going to be the thrust of your campaign? Now, this is your second run for Congress.
Well, like I said, we did excellent with our first run. Obviously, I learned quite a bit about the district. We have 29 counties in our district and a lot of ground to cover. So first and foremost, we're going to, you know, continue to try and raise money. Every dollar goes towards pounding the pavement, creating our promotional materials, educating people about the issues, putting gas in the gas tank, helping to, you know, get people the ability to call others and encourage them to visit our website and, of course, attend events and create events. So from here on out, you know, we're going to be looking at what we can do to reach out to people. And we have supporters all over the country. I've been very, very lucky and blessed to have people, especially Daily Paul listeners and Ron Paul fans who are also a fan of what I stand for. We want to reach them, and we want to run, and we want to win, and we can. We can absolutely win, and we have the tools and the capability to do it. So I just want people to be excited, and I want to encourage other people to run where they are, whether it's for a local or a state or a federal office. Let's work together and change this.
Wonderful. Thank you, Tisha. We will come back to this after the break.
You're listening to Daily Paul Radio, revolutionary talk for revolutionary times, WGRR Digital.
Welcome back to the third segment of Blue Republican Radio for the Liberty Curious with me, Robin Kerner, speaking to the newly announced, the brand newly announced congressional candidate for Colorado's 3rd District, Tisha Cassada. How are you doing, Tisha?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Robin.
Now, I am so buzzed that you announced your candidacy on this show just a few minutes ago. So let me ask you in this mini little 5-minute segment we have. What are the issues that are kind of most important on the ground in your rather rural, mostly rural district, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think that it all goes back to property rights. Of course, we have a lot of landowners, farmers and producers in various areas of my district, but property rights is not only land, but also our body, our privacy, what we're able to eat and consume, our food, our money and our wealth, the things that we use as money and currency are all property. So all of our issues really go back to property rights. And something that, you know, I've talked about for quite a while and was inspired by Michael Badnarik was the difference in educating people about the difference of individual rights versus collective rights. And right now, I think we have an overwhelming group of collective rights, whether it's the two major political parties or the people representing us in the three branches of government, or even, you know, big corporations that are using the government to create laws that benefit them. We have collective rights eroding the rights of individuals. So, you know, Monsanto and what they're doing with seeds or what they're doing to farmers as far as their property, that's eroding the individual rights of the consumer to decide what they want to eat and whether they want to eat. genetically modified organisms in their food, and it's eroding the right of farmers and how they farm and their own property rights. So that's kind of the focus of most of our issues, and not only in my district, but I think across the country.
When you discuss these issues of such import to your constituents, in terms of property rights and collective versus individual rights, is this something they've already kind of, have they already thought about it this way? Or are you telling them something new? Are you giving them a gestalt switch?
I think that I'm providing them a different way of looking at it. I think that we all have ways of perceiving the same thing, and I try really hard to narrow it down and make it very simple for people to understand. So my explanation about property rights and what that entails and encompasses, as well as this concept of the individual versus the collective, it's just a simpler way of looking at it. So I think they've kind of thought it through and understand and feel what's happening. And I think I'm able to kind of put it into some different terms and give them words to use to get a further grasp on what's going on. And hopefully that will end up in more solutions.
And do you find that that kind of works for people who might identify or lean somewhat left and for those that might lean somewhat right? Or do you not get to kind of know who you're speaking to with that kind of degree of...
Absolutely. We, and this is what, you know, we're really good at with our campaign and our team. We win people on both sides of the aisle because we take it out of this, out of a more of a trollic, way of talking to one another, Republican versus Democrat, conservative versus liberal, and we bring people together on issues that we do agree on, and property rights, individual rights are both very conservative and very liberal. So we've been very successful in reaching out to both audiences by using, you know, different definitions and different ways of looking at it other than the key words that often cause people to get angry at each other.
This is why you're just such a natural for the chair of Blue Republican Colorado.
You get it.
You can find the constitutional conservatives and the constitutional liberals, and you know that both terms really mean something.
Same thing.
Absolutely. Am I hearing the music coming in now? I think we're coming up to the end of our segment. Yeah, okay. All right, thanks, Fisher. We will come back to this. Welcome back, Blue Republican Radio, for the Liberty Curious. And one of the most Liberty Curious people that I know is my guest, Tisha Cassidy, newly announced congressional candidate for Colorado's 3rd District. So, Tisha, last time, I know that you you obviously had a much harder time fundraising because you were running unaffiliated, as we discussed. But you spent most of the dollars that you brought in crisscrossing the state, putting gas in the tank, right?
That's right. Yeah.
And I think that, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think your conversion rate, the people who you brought to your understanding of America and American politics, as a fraction of the people that you actually got to meet, was really quite high. Your message was resonating, as you said earlier, with those who lean left, those who lean right, the young and the old. Now, what about engaging some of the apathetic youngsters? We kind of alluded to that earlier.
I've had a a little bit of experience because I was able to be in front of a high school class talking about monetary policy and the Federal Reserve note. And I think that I really didn't call it monetary policy because that's not a very interesting keyword, but showing young people the value of a dollar and the value of silver and how those two correspond to each other, which, I mean, basically indicates that a dollar is worth less than, you know, I think it's 3 cents, maybe even less than that now, versus silver, which has held its value or held some value for a long duration of time, really is an eye-opening thing for them because young people, of course, are motivated with money because they can buy more things, buy more gadgets. And young people are also, I think, inspired to start businesses, be entrepreneurs. They have ideas. They have innovations. And those two things, the desire to create wealth and have wealth, as well as the desire to create products and services and bring them to market, is a great way to educate them about how our constitutional republic was set up to allow individuals to be free to do that, as well as the dangers of what's going on with the Federal Reserve system and how inflation can affect their ability to do things, and not to mention bureaucracy and how bureaucracy can completely eliminate the ability to be an entrepreneur. So that's how I've seen the light bulb or the light switch go on with young people, and I think it's a great way to reach out with them is being an entrepreneur and what money is and what silver is, you know, what commodities are, that type of thing.
Do you think we're living at a time of change in this area of our culture, in education? Because I'm kind of seeing quite broadly, I think basically people younger than I, you know, in their 20s basically and younger, there seems to be a renewed interest in self-education, in finding things out that the young people are not getting from the mainstream media, from their professors who probably trained in the 60s and the 70s in the progressive era, certainly from the mainstream partisan politicians. I'm finding that people are really using the internet. I mean, it's a cliche, but it's really there and it's affecting our lives. And they're kind of rediscovering a lot of, you might call it the liberty canon. You know, where do the ideas that built our nation, that gave us the Constitution, where does that tradition come from? You know, which thinkers contributed to it? It's kind of exciting. Are you seeing that where you are?
Absolutely. I have several friends who are homeschooling their kids, and I know a lot of people are doing that, and that experience-based learning versus being put into a public education system that is really lacking in letting kids be creative with the arts and with music, letting kids be active with sports, letting kids be innovative with asking lots of questions. Instead, there's this testing, this insane amount of testing going on that doesn't indicate any type of actual wisdom or knowledge for our young people. So I definitely am noticing it, and I don't think that the quote-unquote mainstream media, which these young people don't listen to, so right. It's not that going to be that mainstream anymore, so we shouldn't worry about it. Right. But anyways, you know, they're never going to tell us, you know, things like that. But when you go out and you put your, you know, get your boots on the ground and visit with people, that's why I'm so optimistic. I think that people are very aware and know what's going on. And yeah, they're not out with their pitchforks yet, but that doesn't mean they're not paying attention. And it doesn't mean they're not doing things at an individual level to impact their community and our country in a very positive way.
And I'm guessing a lot of your potential voters down there actually do own pitchforks.
I think so, yeah. Literally, yes.
So, yeah, we might be getting there, though. Now, related to this is, I guess, something, another trend, a very important one in American politics, that you will be benefiting from, as you might say, I might call you kind of an ethical independent, you know. You have a philosophical aversion to running under a party, which, by the way, I love. You know, I love that you are a blue Republican chair and you're running as an independent. And as we get more people running Blue Republican, they will be libertarian, they will be independent, they will be Republican, and who knows, you might even get a Democrat. I think this is really in the spirit of what we're doing. We're about principles, not party. But as indeed, of course, you are. So what I was going to ask is, you're benefiting presumably from this increasingly educated rejection of understanding the world, the country, through the two-party paradigm, or you might say the one-party paradigm with two flavors.
Exactly. Absolutely. People are so fed up with what's going on, and they should be, because both political parties are extorting companies, organizations, individuals, wealthy individuals to send money into their coffers, which they can often use for their own personal benefit. It has nothing to do with running for Congress or running for the Senate again, but they're extorting people to send them money based on presenting legislation. And I just finished the book Extortion by Peter Schweizer, which is fantastic, and it's a quick read. And it talks about this. I mean, they're both political parties are literally extorting the American people. It's not that a little bit of it is, but you know, we always think big companies and multinational corporations and the banking industry, they're so evil and they're doing bad things. Well, you have to look at your representatives and see how they're affecting them. They oftentimes, our representatives, and I use that term loosely, our politicians are using their position of power and influence via legislation to get these companies to donate to them, right, on both sides of the aisle, on both sides of issues. It's really frustrating and unfortunate and unethical, in my opinion. And so we need to do, you know, by running independent, unaffiliated, you know, even a third party, you're getting away from those two ties, which I do not think are doing anything beneficial for Americans. And there are good Republicans and there are good Democrats, but the parties themselves are, in my opinion, extremely corrupt.
Right. Well, they're private clubs. Aren't they? Yeah, they're private clubs. And obviously, and this is something I was discussing with Cornelius last week. You know, he identifies progressive, and he's also a blue Republican chair over in North Carolina. And he's probably, you know, I kind of joke that he's the left flank of blue Republicanism, because, you know, he owns the word progressive. And, you know, we were talking about this, that a large part of what you're talking about here is only can arise because we have let the state get so far out of its constitutional bounds. The chains on the government are now so loosed that they have so much in their gift that it is worth, as it were, the some big corporations sitting down with them and writing those laws.
Yes, yes. And then it creates a lot of bureaucracy and confusion, which then allows people in consulting industries who have helped write this confusing legislation consult and earn millions of dollars to help those companies and other companies weave their way through following these rules.
And anybody that has a problem with the banking sector, and indeed we have good reason to, should know that everything the banking sector has been doing over for centuries, that we cannot do without being criminal, it's all done under the auspices and with a privilege granted by the state. Republican Radio for the Liberty Curious. This is me, Robin Koerner, speaking with the newly announced on this show, congressional candidate for Colorado's 3rd District, the awesome Tisha Gas-Cassada, who begins her run with an endorsement, not just from Blue Republican, of course, but much more importantly, from Dr. Ron Paul himself. And I know because I was in the room when he said it. Tisha, it's just so exciting that you're doing this again, and I know that you're going to bring to bear everything you've learned from the first time round. So look, we just have 90 seconds or so to end this show, so please use this platform to let everyone know how to find out about you, your campaign, anything you want to tell us.
Okay. Well, first of all, Robin, thank you so much for your continued support for what you're doing with Blue Republican and for allowing me to be on your radio program. And for your listeners and our supporters, you can go to Cassada2014.com. That's C as in cat, A, S as in Sam, I, D as in dog, A, Cassada2014.com. And you can see our issues. We don't have a lot up yet because we've just started, but you can see how to contact us. You can sign up to volunteer. And most importantly, you can contribute. And every dollar counts. It makes a huge difference for our outreach. We win people everywhere we go, so we just need to reach more people, and your donation and contribution helps us to do that. So, again, the website is Cassada2014.com. We are on Facebook. You can just find us with either Cassada2012 or Cassada for Congress 2014, and also on Twitter, at VoteCassada. And I just want to encourage people to support and promote candidates that uphold the principles that you believe in. It doesn't matter what political party they are, but just try and support people who have those principles and things that you believe in, because it makes a huge difference. And it's really up to us at the grassroots local level to support each other and do what we can to help each other. I've certainly supported independent and third-party candidates wherever I can. So believe in what we're doing, and thank you for this opportunity again, Robin.
Here, here. Thanks for being with us. Tisha Cassada.
You're listening to Daily Paul Radio. Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. WGRR Digital.